Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. For this Monday, September 24th, 2012, hope you had a great weekend. Sorry about the Wildcat game. Could have gone so much different if we put a couple of points, a couple of touchdowns there in the first quarter. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post our program to several websites. It goes up at buckmastershow.com, usually about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's there. TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service, has the show as well, and TucsonCitizen.com and GVNews.com. Now, that's the website for the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. They have a link to the Buckmaster Show. We get things rolling this Monday afternoon. We always start with a Monday political face-off. Our commentators today, Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom. 12:30, our candidate interview series continuing. We're interviewing all the local legislative candidates. Today it's Adam Quasman, who is in a three-way race for two seats in the Arizona legislature from District 11. We'll close out the show with our author interview series. Tucson-based writer Deanne Stillman joins us. She writes popular true crime books. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Buckmaster Live Line 790-2040. You can also submit a question on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Our Monday political face-off today featuring Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Ackerstrom, Vice Chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, how are you gentlemen today?
Good, good. In fact, on Saturday, I went by Moe's, and
oh, good.
We're having them take a look at our place for framing a big mirror for us. So
he's got an impressive space over there.
Yeah, it's great. Great selection.
Yeah, and Bruce, you tried to watch the beginning of the Arizona game.
Well, I pressured through three quarters, and that was it for me. I went to bed. But, boy, anybody who watched the Arizona Cardinals play yesterday had to be pleased with that.
I'm becoming a Cardinal fan.
Boy, they looked tough yesterday. They kicked some serious hiney. Can I say that here at KVOI?
Yeah,
hiney?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, they did that. Around.
Yeah, I mean, the Cards, 3-0, it is the best start since 1974, and this is going to date me, so why in the world am I going to say it on live radio? But I actually remember when the Cardinals were in my hometown of Chicago. So they started out as the Chicago Cardinals. Then Mr. Bidwell, the Bidwell family, moved them to St. Louis. So St. Louis had a baseball Cardinals and football Cardinals. Then he headed west to Arizona.
And became the Phoenix Cardinals before they became the Arizona Cardinals.
They are the Arizona Cardinals. Well, anyway, let's talk a little bit about endorsements. Do they mean anything? And I know, Bruce Ash, you are not at all happy with the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce with their endorsements, or should we say, in some cases, their decision not to endorse, non-endorsements.
Well, you're right, Bill. I did an editorial on this station and also wrote an extended piece for the Southern Arizona News Examiner as well, talking about that. Tucson Chamber of Commerce is supposed to, like any Chamber of Commerce, is supposed to favor candidates who are favorable on business and pro-job growth. And not only were some of their endorsements curious, I found their lack of endorsement in the supervisor number 3 race, for example, to be very troubling. If not, that might be the most important race of this entire election here in Pima County.
That's Tanner Bell, the Republican, going against the incumbent Democrat Sharon Bronson.
Yeah, and also I think it was inexplicable why the permanent 1-cent sales tax proposition wasn't discussed at all. By the chamber. This is something that ought to be of interest to business people. And I won't even predict, you know, what side they should have come down on. They made no endorsement.
And you weren't happy about the endorsement in the Senate race with Dave Bradley and Frank Antonori, who, by the way, will be here on the Buckmaster Show for our face-to-face political candidate series this Thursday.
Yeah, the endorsement of David Bradley was particularly interesting because this is a guy who consistently voted for big deficits and put us in the situation that we found ourselves a few years ago with over a $3 billion deficit and likes taxes. When he ran for Corporation Commission, he had some very radical ideas with respect to energy generation here in the state of Arizona, which would have been horrific as a result for the ratepayers.
Paul, what do you think about these endorsements? Do they mean anything?
You know, I don't know if they mean anything specifically to the voters, but I'll tell you, the Tucson Chamber, I don't think, is making a mistake to start to kind of not just be all in all the time with the Republicans, because frankly, the Republicans have not been very good for the business climate in Arizona or southern Arizona specifically, due to the fact that they've been very anti-public education, which is a key component for business growth. I think that's why they didn't go in on the Prop 204 one way or the other, because they couldn't make up their mind. Because many business people think we need more money in public education. The other thing is look at, let's face it, Sharon Bronson, as a Democrat, has been very strong for the business community, very strong on Tucson's economic development. And you can see by the people who contribute to her.
She many is the of them representative that, for the county on the TRIO board.
Yeah, and many of the big heavy hitters in the business community have contributed to her. And you can see Tanner Bell hasn't been able to raise money. So that just tells you where the business community is really in that race. In terms of David Bradley and Frank Antonori, Frank Antonori has been so anti-everything for Southern Arizona that it's created a very, very bad business climate in terms of his vitriolic attack on the city of Tucson, the attack on schools, basically deriding people in this community. And I can understand why, because again, when David Bradley was in the legislature, he's a moderate Democrat, always been pro-business. And I don't see anything wrong with them taking a position on that, because frankly, Frank Antonori has been bad for business in this community. And finally, let me mention one other thing. I think in terms of the supervisorial races, the closest one is going to be Nancy Youngwright, who's been a state legislator in District 26, very well known, been a school board member at the Amphi School District, running as a Democrat in a Republican district against Allie Miller, who is a far-right Tea Party founder. Who doesn't even understand revenues. In fact, she was on your show last Wednesday.
We had both Nancy and Allie debating for half hour.
And Allie Miller has claimed criminal activity in Pima County because supposedly they raided the HERF funds to fund the 1997 voter-approved transportation bond issue. Well, she doesn't even understand that the voters actually approved them borrowing from the her fund, and therefore her accusations are totally baseless, calling people criminals when she doesn't even understand transportation funding.
And before I turn it over to you, Bruce, for a remark about that debate and all of our political face-to-face coverage available at buckmastershow.com. It's posted there. You can listen to the Allie Miller and Nancy Youngwright kind of face-to-face. We're calling it face-to-face, not a bit formal debate, but kind of a face-to-face discussion. Now, and we should point out, Bruce Ash, that the chamber did make an endorsement in that Allie Miller, Nancy Youngwright race, and they did endorse Allie Miller.
They did, and they actually, I thought, made a fairly good decision there. Allie Miller clearly will be a pro-job growth and a good person as a watchdog at the Pima County Board of Supervisors. The problem with the Pima County Board of Supervisors is that all too often the three Democrats are the Board of Observers. They have not promoted policy. They allow the county administrator to promote policy, and then they go out and do the bidding for the county administrator. But let's get back to if we can, to the Frank Antonori-David Bradley race. David Bradley is a dangerous liberal, and anybody.
Have you ever met David? That's an absurd statement,
anybody,
Bruce.
And
come on,
David's a fine fellow. okay? And there's nothing wrong with him personally, but he was a dangerous member of the state legislature.
Not even
close. And the policies that you have with a guy
Frank
like
Antonori's dangerous. That's who's dangerous.
Well, meanwhile, Frank Antonori is the guy that we all told to go charge up the hill and erase $3 billion of Democrat deficits here at the state level. And he managed to do it. And, Paul, he probably ruffled your feathers and some other Democrat officials. The fact of the matter was is that we had a $3-plus billion deficit. Today, we have almost an $800 million surplus at the state level. And frankly, we should be thanking Frank Antonori and not criticizing him for being ill-mannered or a bull in a china closet or whatever you want to say. Somebody had to do it. We elected Frank Antonori to do it, and he fulfilled his election promises.
Look, and you know, you called it a Democratic deficit. It is anything but. The Democrats have not controlled
All built up under a Democrat governor.
The Democrats have not controlled the House of Representatives, and they haven't controlled the legislature at all.
Paul, for 44 years.
You know
exactly what happened when Governor Napolitano was in office. You know, she'd call the boys and girls up.
You had your turn, Bruce. Let me talk.
It is now Paul Eckerstrom's turn.
All through the 90s, there was income tax cut after income tax cut after income tax cut. And it set us up for when we did hit a recession, we would go into deficits. And where did the money come from to balance your budget? It came from schools. It came from our schools and our roads. We haven't been able to fix roads, let alone build new roads in this state for now 8 years. And it's absurd to me when you constantly harp on the deficit was somehow a Democratic deficit when the Republicans controlled the legislature since 1966. Okay,
Rose, why don't we take a break right here? Seems like a good place for a timeout on the Monday Political Face-Off.
Let Paul air out.
790-2040. Do endorsements matter? Love to hear from a few of you on the Buckmaster Show live line. We continue right after this.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. As Paul Eckerstrom learned over the weekend, Moe has a fantastic selection of mirrors. That's one of his specialties. And of course, they do all sorts of custom framed work as well. So lots going on with Moe. So Paul Eckerstrom with us and Bruce Ash. We've been talking about David Bradley, the Democratic Senate candidate. David is going to be here along with Frank Antonori on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking with them on Thursday. And then we have another debate. That's at 12:30, the Pima County Treasurer's race, Beth Ford and Elaine Richardson coming up on Wednesday.
Well, that's another election. You really have to wonder why the Democrats are putting so much money into Elaine Richardson, who's sort of seen her best days many years ago.
Oh, man.
Up against a CPA who has been admirably handling funds here in Pima County for a number of years, Beth Ford. And the best thing that you can say about Beth is you never hear about her office. All they do is handle what needs to be handled for the taxpayers of Pima County, all the school districts, and so on. She's done a heck of a job during her term of office.
Bruce, haven't you learned that you don't say a woman's best days are behind them on the air? I mean, Elaine Richardson is a
another war against women.
No, really, about Elaine, she's had a long career.
She has, and she was involved
state
with the business,
real estate commissioner in Arizona. Yeah.
She's been very involved in the business me for years prior to her political career, during her political career. She would be very good as a treasurer. And yeah, it's one of those little known races. But I think Elaine's going to make a very good candidate and maybe even have a chance of beating the incumbent.
Beth now, Ford is the only person between all of our taxpayer money and Democrat members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, as well as the Democrats of the Tucson City Council. I rest my case.
Did you want to say another comment about David Bradley, who you say could be a very dangerous person at the state legislature, Bruce?
Well, he is dangerous because he further notches Pima County in as a liberal bastion. And his influence at the state legislature will be zero. I know Paul and Steve Farley are liking to tout that the Democrats are going to take over the state Senate. There's no empirical evidence to suggest that at all. And what we'll have, along with the rest of the Democrats that serve here in this impacted blue zone called Pima County, is a bunch of irrelevant Democrats.
Well, you know what, Bruce? I would rather have an irrelevant Democrat, and I don't think that's necessarily the case, because I do think this, with the redistricting, there's a real chance that Democrats could take the Senate. But well, let me tell you something. We used to have Republicans who fought for Southern Arizona, like Tom Goodwin, who fought for the University of Arizona and got funding for the University of Arizona for years. And now we have Republicans who go after funding of the University of Arizona and hurt our community and our economic development by saying wild, outrageous things constantly. And Frank Antonori is one of them. Him and Al Melvin are about the worst representatives for Southern Arizona you could possibly have. In fact, you know, I basically believe the leadership in the legislature and in the governor don't like the guy. And that's, you know, that he is so toxic that we don't get anything from his representing us in Southern Arizona. In fact, we get hurt by him.
The only people who don't like Frank Antonori are the people who are running for Senate president, who they don't think will vote for them. Both of these men have done exemplary jobs serving the citizens and the taxpayers of the state of Arizona.
You know, he sponsors legislation that attacks Pima County. He sponsors
legislation
that attacks
the
city of Tucson. He sponsors legislation that slashes funding for the U of A. How is that helpful to Southern Arizona? It isn't.
Well, in your alternate reality, Paul, everything is dandy. Just add another tax on top of it, and that's a problem with Prop 204, the permanent 1% sales tax. You know, Paul, we've talked about this before on the show. There's a load of goodies that were put onto this thing that help the big, heavy equipment contractors here in this state with all kinds of infrastructure that ought not have ever been put on this bill.
Okay, let's go to Charles on the Buckmaster Show live line. Real quickly, Charles.
Very quickly. I think what Bruce meant to say is that Elaine's face does not reflect her chronometer. What I wanted to ask Mr. Eckerstrom is, is it more important that a person be liked or disliked by the governor, or that they do the right thing?
I think to do the right thing, but I don't think what Frank Antonori has been doing is the right thing at all for our community, that's for sure.
Disagree. Have a great day.
Well, thank you very much, Charles. Coming up now on 12:26 on the Buckmaster Show, we were starting to get into it a little bit about the permanent 1 cent sales tax for education. Are we going to go back to that topic, or we're going to go now to Rick real quickly? Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, Mr. Eckerstrom, clear up a couple things for you. Number one, Frank Antonori was one of the two people from Arizona that actually helped save Rio Nuevo from being totally abolished in 2010. It wasn't the Democrats. It was Frank Antonori that convinced the leadership at the House to help save it, despite all the misspending of the city of Tucson. Number two, Mr. Antonori has not shortchanged education. What he has challenged is the accountability of local government, Tucson, Pima County, and the University of Arizona spending down here and making things happen that produce no results.
Thank you, Rick.
And number three, Mr. Bradley's organization was a direct beneficiary of taxpayer money. So I think you need to check your facts a little bit clearer, Mr. Eckstrom.
Thank you, Rick.
Let me address it this way. And Bruce has talked about the sales tax extension that was passed a couple of years ago to help our schools, when Brewer then raided that money and put it into just balancing the budget. And actually had our schools slashed during that period of time. Look, everybody knows we're about dead last in funding of schools in this state among all the states. Our universities used to be one-tenth the cost it is now to go to school, and is pricing middle-class kids out of being able to go to the college, the universities, because of the funding cuts. We had 15 years of income tax cuts from the early 90s to the mid-2000s. And that set us up for structural deficits, and they took the money out of education. And that all that 1 cent sales tax extension, because we're already paying it, is now done, is earmarking 80% of the money goes to public education and the universities and junior colleges.
Okay, Bruce.
And 10% of it goes to, as Bruce said, to helping repair our roads and build our roads.
Quickly, Bruce Ash.
Look, the 1% sales tax is bad on its face because it does add all this infrastructure costs. And this is an anti-Republican, anti-legislature bill. All across the country, state legislatures, state governments are trying to hold teachers and educators accountable for results. This takes away from that here in the state of Arizona.
It has accountability in it. And let me tell you something. We wouldn't need it, and we wouldn't have to earmark money for education on this if we had legislators have legislators like Frank Antonori.
All right.
There you go again.
Bruce Ash, Paul Eckerstrom, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. That's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off. We will be right back on the Buckmaster Show after we hear from the people who support our program. Please support them. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mitt Romney says U.S. foreign policy should not be conducted at the mercy of events overseas. Romney campaigning today in the battleground state of Colorado. The Marine Corps says it will court-martial two non-commissioned officers for allegedly desecrating the bodies of Taliban fighters last year in Afghanistan. The head of the UN's food agency says a number of Syrians in need of food has jumped from 250,000 to 1.5 million in the past 5 months as more civilians are driven from their homes by the escalating civil war. For the first time, more high school students are taking the ACT college entrance exam than its rival, the SAT. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 9 points, the Nasdaq down 17. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. .34 now on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. Have you been inside Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better? Then now is your chance. Their annual Showcase of Homes event is coming up on Tuesday, October the 30th, starting at 9 a.m. RSVP, and please say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090 or visiting SplendidoTucson.com. Well, we are trying our best to introduce you to as many of the candidates as possible in the legislative districts from Southern Arizona. This afternoon, we continue our spotlight of the House of Representatives three-way battle for two seats in District 11. Last week, we spoke with one of the two Republicans, former State Senator Steve Smith, who stepped down from his Senate position to run for the House in order to avoid a primary battle with State Senator Al Melvin. The other Republican in the race, Adam Quasman, is with us now. Adam managed Jesse Kelly's 2010 congressional campaign. And then last week, we also spoke with the lone Democrat in the three-way race, Dave Joseph. Adam, how are you today?
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good. How's the campaign going?
Campaign's going great. You know, everybody says that this LD11, Oro Valley, Marana, Saddlebrook area, it's a safe Republican seat. But, you know, Bill, we're not taking anything for granted. We are knocking on doors. We are raising money. And really what we're hearing from the voters is that people are concerned. You know, they're concerned about their job if they have one. They're concerned about getting a job if they don't. And so, you know, Bill, I'm an economist. I have a master's degree in economics. I work in the financial sector. My reason for running for the state legislature is to put Arizona on a path of long-term prosperity.
I want to pick up on a couple of the themes we were talking about. I know you were driving in you were listening to our Monday political face-off with Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash, a couple of the issues that they were hitting on. This whole thing about endorsements, and I know that's pretty personal for you being a candidate, and we talked about the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber, their endorsements. They made an endorsement in your race?
Yes, the only one that they've endorsed in my race is my campaign. I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber. Also, I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, the state chamber. You know, even though the Tucson city limits don't fall into my district being, again, in Oro Valley, Marana, Saddlebrook, the northwest, and all the way up to Pinal County, western Pinal County area. You could find a map of that, of course, at adamquasman.com. But, you know, it's a regional approach that I think is important, that why the chamber reached out to my race, the Tucson chamber being. A regional approach to economic growth with a I think they saw in the interview, I made sure that they knew that, you know, I'm a local boy. I'm born and raised here in Tucson. I have a true love of Tucson, Arizona, from in all parts of it, the east side, you know, downtown, you know, going to the restaurants and the music venues downtown. I remember spending my young birthdays at Reed Park Zoo. So that is really the regional approach that I plan to take.
And growing up watching me on TV.
That's probably right. That's right. You always had the coolest glasses.
Yeah, well, yeah, added those a little later in the game. Adam, what about endorsements? Do they matter? I mean, you've been around politics a few years now.
I think they do, insofar as they act as a signal for those who are less informed about the election themselves. You know, for example, I've been endorsed by NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Well, we know that NFIB has led the charge against Obamacare at the federal level. Well, at the state level, these issues are still important. We need to make sure that we send candidates who will stop Obamacare at the state level, stop the bankrupting expansion of Obamacare's Arizona Medicaid expansion. We need to make sure that we promote healthcare freedom in the region. And by a voter seeing that NFIB has endorsed my candidacy, they know that I will do whatever it takes to make sure that Obamacare does not bankrupt our state.
What about the 1 cent sales tax? That was another issue that we addressed and brought up during the today's Monday political face-off. And by the way, I'll put a plug in here, Adam, for the show in our face-to-face candidate series. We will be having Doug Ducey, who is leading the charge against Proposition 204. Right?
And another endorsement of mine, Doug Ducey, the treasurer.
Okay, so Doug is going to be representing the side against the permanent sales tax increase. And Ann Eve Peterson, who is the leader for it, will be here in studio. That will be coming up in a few weeks.
So here's what I have to say about this proposition. The 1 cent permanent sales tax increase. I'm trying to get away from the demagoguery from the left and the right. Let's take a very balanced, I'm going to put my economist hat on right here. If we raise the sales tax permanently, like we are planning to do, unless we stop it, which I hope we can all stop it, but the course is to raise the sales tax permanently, Arizona will have the second highest sales tax in the nation, second only to the state of Tennessee. But Bill, you know the difference between Tennessee and Arizona is Tennessee doesn't have an income tax. So taxation and balance of how we tax is just as important to economic growth as it is to the rate of the taxes. Now, I believe we can fully fund education, and I'm a huge advocate of fully funding our education system from our preschools all the way through our the university system, because it's what creates jobs and brings as much prosperity to the area as possible. But we do that, Bill, by growing the economy. We bring more people into the tax base by bringing jobs to the area. That will go so much farther than attempting to simply punish the taxpayers further in a recession, because as we know, if you raise the sales tax, that means prices of goods and services increase and standard of living for the poorest among us decreases because they can't afford that type of tax. I don't believe in raising a tax like that. I believe in growing the economy, broadening the tax base, and that's how we fully fund education.
Even though the state legislature would not have the direct influence over this controversy with the Rosemont mine, I think it's good to get everybody on record on that. What's your position on the mine?
I'm for copper in the copper state. I mean, that has always been a position of mine. I believe that that we need to make sure that we safely and correctly recover our natural resources. We have these God has gifted us these material, and I'm in a religious mood today, Bill, because it's almost Yom Kippur, so I'm trying to repent where I can. Right?
Yeah.
Shana Tova for all of you listening out there who are members of the tribe.
Yeah.
But God has given us these amazing resources, and that includes copper in this state. So whether it's Rosemont, whether it is the copper mines up north, we need to make sure that we do it in a responsible manner. However, we cannot allow ourselves to punish ourselves because we are scared of how we mine copper. We need to do it in a sustainable, modern, efficient way and bring as many jobs to this copper state as humanly possible.
District 11 is quite a large district, isn't it? You've got Steve Smith up in the community of Maricopa and then going all the way down to Oro Valley. So there's a lot of mileage there that you'll be putting on or already have put on your car. Huh?
Yeah, but Steve, I have this really cool Mustang. Let me tell you, I love it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
No, so, I bought a Mustang. It was my first car that I purchased. And I've had the same car that I've had since I was 16. And so last year when I decided to run for office, I said, you know what, I see this district, I'm going to get a car that I'm going to enjoy driving through. So I have a 300 horsepower Mustang. The license plate is LMTDGOV, limited government. So they know, they see it coming.
Yeah, they see it coming. Yeah. Well, hopefully you haven't had to go through a new set of tires.
It's coming. Let me tell you, my gas prices are.
Yeah. LD11, give us a snapshot of the makeup of that district.
All right. So you have Oro Valley, Marana, Saddlebrook. That is the that's the conservative region of was the old CD8. So these were strongholds for Republican candidates, whether it be Jesse Kelly or Tim B or even Randy Graff going back to 2006. Then you go up the I-10 corridor past my favorite, Rooster Cogburn's Ostrich Ranch on the left-hand side, and it incorporates a lot of western Pinal County, including western Casa Grande, then also Arizona City, and then up to the town of Maricopa, which is confusingly in Pinal County. But there's a lot of rural voters out there, Republicans, conservative Democrats, and that's why I'm proud to have been endorsed by the Farm Bureau, the Arizona Farm Bureau as well.
Adam Quasman, where can folks get more information?
You can go to adamquasman.com or like me on Facebook at Adam Quasman.
Okay, Adam Quasman, thank you very much.
Bill,
good luck.
Thanks for being with us. Take care.
Coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us, the Monday edition. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Looking for a cool weekend getaway? Great weekend getaway. Consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. The mile-high elevation makes for cool days and crisp nights. There's so much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and there's no shortage of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, and Continental Divide RV Park. Check out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is the award-winning writer Deanne Stillman. She divides her time between Tucson and Southern California. Her latest true crime book is titled Desert Reckoning, A Town Sheriff, A Mojave Hermit, and The Biggest Manhunt in Modern California History. Deanne is the author of Mustang, The Saga of the Wild Horse in the American West. That book was a Los Angeles Times best book of 2008. She's also the author of the cult classic 29 Palms, which Hunter Thompson called a strange and brilliant story by an American writer, an important American writer. Deanne is also the author of Joshua Tree, Desolation Tango, published by the University of Arizona Press in 2006. Deanne, good to talk with you and catch up with you again. The last time we talked was on TV. I think we were talking about the book 29 Palms.
Right, Bill. I remember that, and thanks so much for having me back on your show.
Tell me
just one quick comment.
Sure.
Desert Reckoning is narrative nonfiction, even though a crime is involved. It's really not true crime.
Not true.
No.
So it's technically
a difference
not
in the genres,
true crime.
So.
But it certainly is a true story is the inspiration for the book, right?
Oh, of course. It's based on a Rolling Stone article of mine about two men on a collision course. Mojave hermit who killed a beloved town sheriff in the Antelope Valley north of Los Angeles in 2003. And I explore in my book who these men are and why they were on this collision course and how their backstories led to this fatal shootout at the hermit's trailer on a hot August day in 2003.
You know, you think about the Wild West, and of course we think about Tombstone here in southern Arizona, Deadwood in the Dakotas. You don't really think about Los Angeles County, do you, as the Wild West?
No, it's a really good question, and that's something I explore in my book, The Frontier History of Los Angeles County. And really during the 1700s and 1800s and into the early 1900s, it was more violent outpost than either Tombstone or Deadwood. In fact, it was the most violent place in the country. You know, it was as far west as you could go, and everybody who didn't fit in elsewhere went there.
This manhunt that went on for this desert hermit involved a lot of different law enforcement agencies and a lot of people, didn't it?
Right. As I say in my subtitle, it was the biggest manhunt in modern California history, and it involved the FBI and DEA and Edwards Air Force Base and six or seven different sheriff's agencies, including the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, their SWAT team, and their homicide department. And the manhunt went on for 7 days because this hermit, who was kind of a Dr. Doolittle figure with an assault rifle, because he knew the desert so well, he was really able to outfox this massive high-tech posse, which was using gear from the Gulf War. He was able to elude them, you know, one man literally against thousands for one entire week until at the end of the 7 days they finally had him cornered in a complex of sheds near where the crime had originally happened.
Set up the incident itself for us, Deanne.
Well, it was a hot August day in 2003. It was about 110 degrees in the shade, and Donald Cook, the hermit, was at home in his trailer, kind of melting down after finding out months prior to this incident that his son had died of a drug overdose, and he himself was an ex-felon and had vowed never to return to jail and had been out there taking care of wild animals and also nurturing this very intense hatred of law enforcement. And on that August day, Deputy Sheriff Steven Sorensen, who was kind of an Andy of Mayberry figure in that part of the Mojave, turned down the this remote dirt road leading to Donald Cook's trailer, and he was following up on a trespassing call. There had been a complaint about a squatter in the area, and he headed to Donald Cook's trailer, perhaps looking for the squatter. No one knows exactly why, but he and Cook had had a run-in years prior. Sorensen had pulled Cook over during a road rage incident. It was another hot August day around high noon, and that encounter became almost became violent very quickly until some other cops intervened. And Cook, the hermit, had tried to get Sorensen fired, spent months trying to get him fired, and it came to naught. And then here it is years later where they have this fatal encounter at Cook's trailer when Sorensen turns down this remote road following up on a complaint about a squatter. And there is Cook kind of preparing for the day that a cop may cross his line in the sand. And that's exactly what happened when Deputy Sorensen showed up that day. And Cook blew him away, literally.
Deanne Stillman is with us. She's the author of Desert Reckoning. The desert's very important in your work. How about the fate of the Mojave Desert? The outlaws who live there, the plants and animals, who are really kind of the last of their kind, aren't they?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, the Joshua tree grows in only one place, and that's at an elevation of 2,000 to 6,000 feet in the Mojave Desert. And I know there are a few here in Tucson, but they're kind of they're outliers. They're just visiting, really. And there are people who, you know, like the Joshua tree and certain animals and other plants that can only flourish in a part of the Mojave, including, you know, a breed of Mojave outlaw, and they're all out there, and they just want to be left alone. And most of them can't flourish in cities, and fortunately, we have, you know, our wide open spaces. I think otherwise, our cities would probably be much more violent than they are. You know, our wide open spaces are a sanctuary for a lot of people and plants and critters. And the Mojave and other desert areas are being squeezed these days. And people like Donald Cook are out there kind of making a last stand as things like tract housing and freeways, they're closing in. That's what's going on, you know, in our wilderness areas.
Deanne, what would you like the reader to take away from Desert Reckoning?
Well, actually, my book ends on a note involving the sacred. Something I look for in my book is that there is amid, you know, a world where all seems lost, there are incredible moments of hope, and that's one of the things that I explore in my book. And I even asked Sheriff Baca, who is the head of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, where is the sacred in this story? And he said, well, it was Steve Sorensen's mission to go out to the desert and protect God's creation.
Deanne Stillman, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Deanne Stillman is the author of Desert Reckoning, A Town Sheriff, A Mojave Hermit, and The Biggest Manhunt in Modern California History. Deanne Stillman will sign copies of her book at Antigone Books, and that book signing is coming up on September 28th at Antigone Books, 7 o'clock in the evening, 411 North 4th Avenue. Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show is presented by, and gladly so, we accept it and we're glad they do it, Culligan Water, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home and business. Culligan Water, it simply tastes better. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock, it's the John C. Scott Show. John, the Dean of Local Tucson Talk. Then tomorrow morning from 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. So that will do it for our Monday political face-off and Monday political show. And again, if you've missed any of our face-to-face debates, like the Ali Miller Nancy Young Wright encounter that we had here in studio, it is available on our website, buckmastershow.com. Got quite a few face-to-face encounters coming up in the next couple of weeks, so we'll look forward to that. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.